are now listening to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV with P and Ryan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV. This is P alongside Ryan. If you're watching, it means you're on YouTube, and we kindly ask that you drop a like and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening, it means you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, and all other podcast platforms. We also kindly ask that you hit that follow button and leave a review.
That's good, yeah.
What's up, man? You know, it's week eight. Feel a little weak. My personal fantasy team, I mean, feeling good, but you know, this is kind of a part of a season where I was thinking about, I asked you right before we hit record, I asked you, like, when are the playoffs, like how many weeks we have left, right? And I started thinking about what matters, trying to rope off wins now or trying to set yourself up so that you succeed because you have players that are playing favorable matchups towards the end of the year. So when you do that, sometimes you do have to sacrifice those wins. So which one do you kind of balance your team out so that you have those matchups down the road? Because remember, bye weeks, you can't just hold on to somebody, right? Like, you got to drop people that you really might need later. So yeah. How do you kind of balance that? Before we get into the matchups, I knew we weren't going to do this, but you got me thinking when you said
No. And look, it depends. There's no clear-cut answer. Depends what your situation is. If you're a bottom dweller and you're trying to fight just to get a playoff spot, you're not setting up for the playoffs because there might not be no playoffs.
This is your playoffs.
This is your playoffs right now. Your playoff is, I got to win every single week.
Yeah.
So you're playing to win every single week. You're not playing to win in the future. So yeah. You got to be like, hey, this is my best team. I got to play right now. If you are in the top five or so in your league and you got a good amount of wins in already, you can start prepping a little bit. Like, I wouldn't get too ahead of yourself if you got like 4-3 wins.
I was gonna ask you, what is the magic number for wins? Like, what's the sweet spot that you can be like, okay, yeah, I might be able
to. If you get 7 or 8 wins, that it's a guarantee and almost a playoff spot. Because you think about it, if you play, and also depends what your playoff schedule is set up. Because some leagues are all different. Mm-hmm. Ours is. Week 14 is when the playoff starts. So week 1 to 13 is, you got 13 weeks. If you can go 8-5 in those 13 weeks, that's pretty solid. If you're 7-6, 6-7,
six and seven might make it in some leagues. It all depends on how competitive like the entire league is. Cause if you have people that have like extreme records at the bottom of the league, then most likely the teams in the middle have fattened up on those teams or at the top.
Yeah. So it depends. I mean, I wouldn't, if you're undefeated in the league right now, I wouldn't be like, all right, look, wins don't matter. I'm trying to win the playoffs. Like, I wouldn't abandon ship because the goal is to get a bye as well too. But I don't know, man. You got to just adjust accordingly, depending on what your situation is. That's all I can really say.
So to cap it off, if you are coming into week 8 and you have 3 wins, you feel good?
Yeah. You feel pretty good about that.
How about
you still have, you're in clawing distance, right? If you go 500 the rest of the way, we got about 6 more weeks of actual football that matters to everybody. If you go 3-3 and you finish, if you got 3 wins right now, you'd probably be 3-4. So that'd finish you off at 6-7.
You're probably like 8th, 9th.
You're 6-7, like right outside the playoff, depending on points. If you got 4 wins, 3 wins will get you to 7-6, depending on points. Like, so you got to keep putting up points too. You can't just
from there on, forget about 1-2.
Yeah.
Focus on the last 3 playoff spots.
Yeah.
You can get one of those, you're good.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's just get into it. I think the first thing that we should do is really recap this game that we had. We already had our picks in, but obviously we should have changed them probably and just smarter. But
I thought about that, but I was like, integrity,
right? So that's what we're about. So the Atlanta Falcons going to Carolina to play the Panthers. You would think that Bridgewater, you know, you would think that the Panthers were pretty much in line to win this game. What did you see in that game?
Kind of, I had some notes for that game. First thing I had was Robbie, DJ Samuel, boom weeks, right? Obviously, we saw what Curtis Samuel did. Came out, scored 2 touchdowns. DJ was held in check for most of the game. So was Robbie. I feel like the Panthers weren't as effective on offense as maybe they wanted to be. It was raining all game. It was kind of tough to pass the ball. Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater ended up getting hurt a little bit in the game, missed some time. So that maybe why the Panthers lost, because the game was close throughout the course of it all. Gurley ahead. If Gurley falling into the end zone on purpose this week, there's back Carolina run D, and that's exactly what happened. He kind of just fell into the end zone because he had a horrible game besides that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was looking at the Atlanta backfield, not just because I was playing against Gurley, but because it's interesting to see that Gurley, for some polarizing reason, they just sit him out for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And then they just bring him in and he'll be in for an entire drive and then that's it. So my advice to fantasy owners is go and get Brian Hill right now. You have no idea what that situation is. And, you know, Gurley's a great talent. And in that offense, because they move the ball and they're always in the red zone. I mean, every time we looked, it felt like the Falcons were in the red zone. So you like that for your running back, but you want to make sure you get his security blanket, because the way it's looking, I'm not sure if 16 games is in the cards for him. Another big blow for them is Ridley. That was a big loss for them.
I agree. And then but I keep real quick before we jump into the other games, things I keep telling people against quarterbacks versus Carolina, just stop starting quarterbacks against Carolina. Carolina is not a bad defense. They suck against the run. That's why Brian Hill and Todd Gurley wasn't really doing anything, but he was good enough to fall into the end zone and get you 6. Mm-hmm. Brian Hill looked really good running the football. The times that the Falcons looked really good was when they were running the ball. Look, Matt Ryan even had a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
He didn't have any passing touchdowns. He ended up with 281 passing yards because, I mean, he's got the greatest receivers.
I mean,
as far as combinations go, before it really went down, he was, him and Julio were just feasting, but he had no passing touchdowns. Carolina funnels to the run.
Yeah.
You can't trust quarterbacks with them.
A big thing to do now also is make sure you, if Young Wei Koo is out there, make sure you keep your eye on him. Especially if the Falcons defense plays the way it's been playing. If you look the last 2 weeks, they've actually been pretty good, trending in the right direction, I would put. I think that's maybe the
better than they were before.
Yeah.
Not amazing, but
yeah,
better than they were.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
It's a good W. Even if it's the Panthers, have been pretty good. So you salute Raheem Morris and the job he's doing so far. So let's go into the picks, right into it. So the first one we have the Indianapolis Colts coming off of a bye playing the Detroit Lions. What do you have here?
So we got Indy favored by 2.5 and a over under 50, which is pretty high for Indianapolis versus Detroit game. Mm-hmm. What I'm looking at right off the bat is, me and you talk about it every single week, what the hell is Jonathan Taylor? The guy looks good. He looks like he can be an amazing running back, but for some reason, he just can't get it together. Is it the play calling from Indy? I mean, we see one game where he got a bunch of carries and he just started balling. Mm-hmm. Or was it against a bad team? Detroit just traded for, what's his face? The guy we used to play on the Cowboys, right? Who played on the Vikings before that, Everson Griffin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's an addition. I don't know if he's going to be active this week, but that's a big addition to that line. And everybody keeps talking about Jonathan Taylor being this. He falls into the end zone. Mm-hmm. Sparingly, and his yards per carry are horrible.
Yeah. You know, you still like that Indy offensive line. You still like the Phillip Rivers another week with the offense, especially coming off a bye week where you can rest. You don't like the wide receivers on Indy too much. I'm not sure what's going on there. Again, maybe Phillip Rivers still finding his way, but you do like Burton. Because, you know, Phillip Rivers. One thing to note, I think this is, you know, pun intended, tailor-made matchup for Taylor to, like, bounce back if he can. Mm-hmm. Lions' run defense is decent yardage-wise, but they allowed ninth most rushing touchdowns and third most fantasy points to the running back position.
Yeah.
Detroit allows 4.5 yards per attempt. So you know, maybe this is a good matchup for Taylor to like solidify what we thought he was going to be.
Yep, and I agree. And I said all of that, I guess you could say negative stuff to say, like, hey, is a big game looming for Jonathan Taylor because he set up, Detroit has been giving up some yards. We saw Aaron Jones demolish them in week two. Mm-hmm. They do give up rushing touchdown, which for, if anything, Jonathan Taylor does good is score. Mm-hmm. On the other, like on the other side of the ball, I'm looking at Matt Ryan. Indy, man, look, everybody keeps saying Indy's a great defense, but they've been looking horrible in some games. Mm-hmm. And Phillip Rivers has had to save him, and he can't save him every single game. We saw it against Cincinnati. They got behind early. Phillip Rivers had to come back and be Phillip Rivers, and he actually made it work. So can Indy hold Stafford in check, or does he have too many playmakers in Swift and Galladay and Hockenson and Jones? So we're going to have to see that as well. I'm looking forward to seeing Galladay versus that old corner he used to face for Minnesota.
Oh yeah, Rhodes has been consistently number three in quarterback completion percentage allowed going his way. So, you know, that's a good matchup. Galladay for the most part is because of volume. I think Stafford is just going to keep throwing it to him, right? Yeah. But it'll be a tough matchup for sure. And I guess, you know, it'd be nice to see Xavier Rhodes and Kenny G go at it again. One thing before we go to the next matchup, before we I think we both picked Indy already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a Swift takeover going on? Another pun intended. So AP will still probably get the touches, but will Swift now be in there for a bulk of the plays? Second straight week of handling the ball more than AP. So that's something to note.
Yeah. And real quick to touch on that too as well, I think Peterson's dealing with an injury. So they are looking to get Swift more carries. Look, Indy's pretty good against the run. They still haven't yet to allow a 100-yard rusher this year. They haven't allowed anybody to go over 80 rushing yards at all, mm-hmm. and only given up 3 rushing touchdowns on the season. So, I mean, if they score, I can see Swift scoring from a reception. I want to see him getting more involved in the passing game.
Yeah.
It was when he first started and he really had that big week.
Well, the beautiful thing is that he's had 5 receptions every week.
All right, so see, I want to keep seeing that. I love Swift. Looks like a great player, man. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's not a scat back. I'm tired of people talking about he's a scat back. He's way bigger than that, and I think can get his load.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the perception of him was? Do you think that maybe maybe fantasy owners didn't really believe that he could like be this kind of player?
Oh yeah, all I heard during the preseason, before the season starts, was all PPR guy. Blah, blah. Like, no, this is not a PPR guy. This is a running back. This guy can catch the ball. Just because running back can catch the ball doesn't mean he's a PPR guy. He's not James White. He's not Gio Bernard.
I mean, Aaron Jones could do both.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a superstar.
Bigger
than Aaron Jones.
Speaking of Aaron Jones, how do we do this? Okay, so we have the Minnesota Vikings facing the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm. We got Green Bay favored by 6.5. Last time I checked, it might have changed with Aaron Jones being out, but the over-under is 53.5. And, man, again, no Aaron Jones, man.
Yeah, that's a big one. But then you, I'm on the bitter. Minnesota side, do you even have Cook?
I'm sorry?
Is Cook playing?
Yeah, Cook. I think Cook is being active. He did practice the last couple of days, so he is playing. And if that's the case, he's in a prime spot versus Green Bay, who has been getting killed by running backs.
Yo, I was surprised when I saw this.
Killed. They have allowed so many points that, and it's not even just rushing, because I think receiving wise, obviously, but they allow a lot of touchdowns.
Total, like you know, passing touchdowns and
no, to the running back.
Wow. Okay.
Seven rushing alone and 2-3 receiving. So 10 total touchdowns allowed to the running back position this year. Obviously, this is the week we saw Kamara go off against a member for 139 receiving yards. So
yeah,
that's an aberration. He's just so damn good. But Ronald Jones ate him up for 113 and two touchdowns. So we'll see, man. I think if Minnesota has any chance of winning this game, it's trying to control the ball, keeping Green Bay off the field. But look, Dalvin Cook is, once he's hurt, he stays hurt. So I'm kind of worried that he can re-injure himself. What do you think on that?
I think if you have Alexander Mattison, you might be able to flex him this week.
Yeah. Then you think they're going to ease him in?
I think they'll probably be more of a split than people think here. Dalvin is a warrior, but Minnesota's not stupid, right? Like, they are 1-4. So, and they're going up against a Green Bay Packers offense and team in general. That's just, you know, their passing defense is as bad as their run defense is, or whatever their propensity is to give up points to the running back. They're equally as good against the pass. Would you say?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, we got one of our favorite players, Jaire Alexander, on that secondary. So, you know, if you have a Thielen or Jefferson, I like Jefferson more probably because Jefferson plays more in the who plays more in the slot? Would it be Thielen or Jefferson?
They line them up all over the place, to be honest. I usually see they're usually both outside receivers from what I see. They'll line up anywhere they can get them open.
So but who draws the shadow coverage to you?
So just looking at history, I mean, Thielen did play them week one. They did play week one. So this is a rematch of a week one matchup. And that in that week, Thielen did abuse Jaire if he was guarding him because he had 110 and 2 touchdowns against them. So, I mean, Thielen is matchup proof. Let's be honest.
I would also say that week one, what has Jaire Alexander given up since that week? Because week one and
two. He hasn't allowed. Nobody has gone over 100 yards since then.
Yeah, so.
Thielen was the last person. And they've only allowed 2, 3, 4, 5 receiving touchdowns since then. So it hasn't been too crazy.
They've adjusted.
They've adjusted for sure.
Yeah.
On the other side of the ball, you know who I'm scared for? Whoever has to guard Davante Adams.
Yeah.
But man, not only did he just go off last week, but the Minnesota Vikings are atrocious. Atrocious versus wide receivers. If I read you off these numbers, 158 and 2 touchdowns, 118, 108 and a touchdown, 93 and 2 touchdowns, 137 and 2 touchdowns. That's what receivers have done against the Minnesota Vikings so far this year. So
fourth most fantasy points a game, 31.4.
Davante Adams is gonna cook. And if they're double covering him, then maybe MVS is a guy you can probably throw in the flex. And you mean shot in the dark if you're desperate.
Yeah, MVS is one of those boom and bust guys. This might be a good week for him, actually.
That's a good call.
I like that one. Anything else for this matchup that you feel like?
I'm taking Green Bay. They're looking like they're ready to continue this playoff run. I like them as a Super Bowl pick. After that loss they suffered to, who was it again? The Bucks.
Yeah, that's a wake up call.
Yeah, it was a wake-up call. They came out last week against Houston, and as I projected, whooped them.
Yeah, they did.
Coming back out again. No Aaron Jones. They might be forced to pass the ball more. Jamal Williams is a nice play. You're starting him if you have him. DFS, they might be pricing him up to where he's valued at this point, so I don't think it's so much of a value, but he's going to have another good game, man.
Yeah, another name to keep an eye on. You keep hearing this trade rumors with Rudolph getting moved. If you have a spot, maybe Irv Smith is someone worth putting on your bench. He's a talented player. Every time Ryan and I see him on TV, we're like, dude, this guy's a star, man. And
Green Bay also has been in the talks of trying to acquire a receiver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, again, another thing about the interesting thing is not just fantasy trade deadlines that we're talking about coming up. It's like real NFL trade deadlines. So, there's pieces that are moving and maybe relevant pieces too. But in this game, we both have Green Bay to win this. One thing that maybe it's a division game, so maybe Minnesota just tries to run Green Bay to death, right? Like you can see that's natural to them, but I just Aaron Rodgers, it's hard to root against him right now.
I don't think that's happening.
Thanks. I definitely agree. The next game is a division bout, and it's the New England Patriots going to Buffalo to play the Buffalo Bills. Is this finally the moment that the Bills get redemption?
This is what we've been waiting for. Look,
yeah,
Buffalo's favored by 4 points. We got an over under of 43, which is low, which we expect. Look, Josh Allen, this is what your Bills fans are waiting to see. Hey, can you beat a Patriots team that – reasonably so should be beat.
Yeah,
they're not that good right now. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries,
a lot of them.
I'm expecting Buffalo to come out and abuse them, like just make them look like a horrible team that they are right now. But Bill Belichick is such a good coach that he's gonna make it He's gonna be good enough to make it seem like, okay, we're not that bad.
But he's gonna devise a good enough game plan to keep the Patriots competitive. Yes.
So can't just Josh Allen got to play mistake free football.
Yeah, good Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing about Buffalo is that around this time you have to worry about the weather conditions, and 20 to 30 mile per hour winds expected up there. In the Northeast, another thing to note, there is bad weather expected with a tropical storm headed that way. So a lot of your games, if they're not in domes, you have to start thinking about the game with Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Ryan, where it's a little harder to throw the ball that way. So you're also going to get a little snow in Buffalo. So what is going to be the game plan, right? For New England, it's going to be probably a lot of running. Edelman's going to be out, right? And I think you have three wide. And N'Keal Harry, I believe, is out as well. So you have three wide receivers who combined, I think, have 1 year service time or something like that.
Yeah.
This is your classic Bill Belichick is just going to run it and like run like Cam is going to. It's just going to be one of those things where maybe revert to game one, what they did against Miami.
Yeah,
that's the. Because on a Buffalo side, I do want to mention that New England is tough against the receivers.
Yeah,
they're also tough against quarterbacks, but you can run on them. So on the Buffalo side, will it be a Singletary, Allen, and Moss attack?
If I'm Buffalo, that's what I'm doing. I'm running. Look what San Francisco just did last week against them. They made Jeff Wilson look like Barry Sanders. Let's be real. You got to come out and trust the run. I think the Bills, one of their biggest problems, and maybe you can attest to this as being a fan, is they give up on the run too easily. Like, they just abandon ship, like, when nothing is happening. This is why I love teams like the Tennessee Titans, because even
– Steelers.
Yeah. Like, even getting held up in the first half, they come out and they keep pounding away. They got to trust Singletary more. He's a great player, man. I just feel like they don't give him a chance to fully succeed because they do give – abandon and – Josh tries to be, like we always talk about, me and you, that superhero that he don't have to be. Like, you don't have to be the best player on the field to win games as a quarterback. So, one question I asked myself going into this game, is Cam even startable? And I wanted to ask you that because I don't think he is at this point. He just doesn't have enough weapons around him, and he has to rely so much on his legs. And is there an after effect of COVID? Is he still dealing with any complications and stuff like that?
I will tell you this about Cam. I feel like if they're going to use Cam like they did in week one, and I'm trying to go back to his week one numbers so that we can see if you would take that for this week. Mm-hmm. And again, I know this is dangerous to do because it's a different defense, but it's a Bills defense that you can run on, right? So if they're going to use Cam that way, then maybe it
makes sense. 15 carries for 75 yards and
25 fantasy points.
Yeah. No passing touchdowns. He had 155 passing yards. So, look, that's probably what he's going to do this week.
Yeah.
He's going to have to rely on his legs. He had 15 carries that week. That's a lot of carries for a quarterback.
To answer your question, if those COVID complications aside, right, like if he's not dealing with that, I could see him doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, to answer your question, yes, he is startable to me.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, cool. Look, we do like Beasley this week, I think.
Yeah.
Names are slipping me today, man. The cornerback for the Patriots.
Oh, Gilmore. Gilmore's out.
Yeah, he's out. So he might be a flex play, but again, you mentioned the weather, so you got to be watching that. Mm-hmm. They might just want to run the ball and try to keep the Patriots off the field, and the Patriots might try to do the same thing. So I don't know if there's any receivers on the Patriots side that you can start without feeling really like confident.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Bird.
Yeah, I don't know any of those guys. I'm not starting any of those guys.
Yeah, me either. I wouldn't either. Buffalo
here, right?
We're both sweeping with Buffalo. We're moving on here.
Got it.
The next matchup is Tennessee Titans, Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals just came off a win last. No, they lost last week.
They ended up losing in the last minute. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was a well-played game for them. Jeff Burrow, you like what you saw. And then Tennessee, what you got here?
Yeah, we got Tennessee coming out favored by 6, a high over under 54.5. Look, what we've seen so far from Cincinnati is they want to throw the ball, or they're forced to throw the ball. Joe Burrow comes out and throws the ball consistently. He's been looking really good. Mm-hmm. His receivers, Higgins, Green, and Boyd all have been producing.
Yeah.
Because I think he leads the league in passing attempts. If not, no. He might be second behind Matt Ryan.
So Cincinnati's third in passing attempts in the league. But the one stat that like stands out, you look at the passing yards and it's like, wow, it's significantly lower. 5.7 yards per attempt.
So they're being safe. He's not really throwing deep balls.
No, and then his deep ball accuracy is currently in question at the moment. Yeah.
But look, the Titans have been very susceptible to receivers lately.
Yeah,
they do give up a lot of yards.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we know what this game is. Let's be honest. Whenever the Tennessee Titans play, we know what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And that's King Henry, man.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is going to destroy the Cincinnati Bengals this week. They are allowing 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. You take into account that Derrick Henry is getting about 24 carries a game.
Mm-hmm.
And about 24 from those 24 carries, 6 of them have been red zone carries.
Wow.
So if you do the math, 24 times 5 that the Bengals are allowing, that's floor 120 yards.
Yeah. One thing about the Bengals that I was surprised about is that they've allowed and again, this is from week 3
mm-hmm.
to now. They've allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to running backs.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher since Nick Chubb.
Since that game on Thursday night?
Yeah, and they haven't allowed a rushing touchdown either. But, again, they played Miles Sanders, who had 95 total yards, James Robinson, who had 75 total yards,
mm-hmm.
Jonathan Taylor, who had 60. So those were games that they were pretty close to.
Yeah.
All of those. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Because again, Tennessee's defense could keep other teams in the game. Yeah, right. Yeah. So this is going to be a good one, but we both have Tennessee here. Yeah. We definitely have King Henry. Obviously, probably scored a touchdown. I like Jonnu this week. Cincinnati is the absolute worst against the tight end position. And this is by a wide margin, considerable wide margin. So Jonnu Smith, fire him up if you have him. I really like him. Green and Burrow and AJ Green and Higgins on the other side, like Ryan mentioned, I really like them.
I like all the receivers.
They're benefiting from that volume. It's really good. Trade rumors, Ross has already been barking about getting traded. So look out for Ross.
And teams are inquiring about AJ Green too. So he might be somebody that I saw talks Green Bay, New England, one of those. He's one of those teams.
Yeah, but AJ still looks like he's got, you know, AJ's the same age as Julio, right? People forget about that.
You know, AJ Green's been looking like he's a refurbished product.
Refurbished product. All right, so we both got Tennessee here. Let's move on. Refurbished product. That's a good one. We need to use that, I think. Refurbished product. Like for comeback player, that's a refurbished product.
Refurbished product of the year.
So far, that's our first player, Ryan. That was good. That was good. Remember that. Everybody in the comment section below, let us know who your refurbished product of the year so far has been. Right now for Ryan, it looks like it's AJ Green.
he's definitely looking like he's been upgrading some hardware, and maybe he's just finally feeling healthy too. Like I don't like to make fun of it, but look,
that's true.
Been hurt a lot, so
yeah. I mean, he missed all of last year and then no preseason, so we kind of forget that, right? So you know, good for him, and everybody let us know. So next game we have Las Vegas against Cleveland, and beginning of the season you think, Las Vegas got this.
Yeah right? Nah, look, they have Cleveland favored by 2.5, being that they're home. I think this is more of like a pick 'em if anything. 53.5 over under, which is a lot of points. Like, this is a shootout brewing. I like Carr and Baker in these matchups.
Yes, sir.
This has shootout potential written all over it. Last week, we saw that with Cleveland and Cincinnati. As much as Cleveland tries to run the ball, I think they are just in, especially recently, they're in games where they can't just keep running the ball. Like, they have to score. Baker Mayfield looked really good. You think he has a chance to have back-to-back big games?
Oh, absolutely.
And to add to that question, was OBJ the problem?
You like set me up, like, you know, insert insert the Stockton. You set me up here, because for me, it's no OBJ, no problem, right? Like, so now you're not forced to throw it to him. Now it's like, let me see what's out there, right? Let me see. Let me get my reads.
My progressions.
Yes, exactly. So Baker's free. I said 5 TDs last week. So Las Vegas, 7th versus wide receivers in points allowed. 2nd in quarterback, 2nd worst in terms of quarterback fantasy points, and 6th most fantasy points to running back. So basically the entire team in Cleveland here is solid to go.
Nah, I agree. Look, Baker Mayfield, the Raiders have been getting killed through the air the last 2 games. I mean, they played Tom Brady last week.
Yeah.
And we saw what he did. Threw up 369 and 4 touchdowns. The week before that, they played Mahomes. They did beat them, but he did put up 340, 2 touchdowns, and he did have a rushing touchdown. They have allowed 2 rushing touchdowns. Oh, I'm sorry. The last 3 games they played, the quarterback has ran for a touchdown. So,
wow.
Yeah, all 3 quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Mahomes, and Brady. So maybe
Brady and Brady surprises Derek, you.
Yeah, Derek Carr, maybe running touchdown, player prop. So I'm looking at that as well. The other thing that I like too is, look, what do we always say against running backs versus Las Vegas? You start them.
Start them.
And Kareem Hunt, man, this might be his last go at it before Chubb starts coming back. So I'm looking at him to be very productive. They have allowed running backs. I mean, recently, not as bad because, look, they've been getting killed through the air. So most teams haven't had to run the ball as much.
Yeah.
But they are still allowing points.
They are. And their offense is efficient. You like that. You don't like – I think Waller maybe for sheer volume and will probably. But Aguilar and Ruggs, those are 2 names that I really like in this game. Because Cleveland's defense is really good against the run. Their line is really good with Garrett, but they can be had in the air for sure.
Yeah, and we both have Cleveland this week.
Yeah, we both have Cleveland here.
I know we've been talking about Peoples this week and Higgins. Mm-hmm. But definitely like those guys this week as well.
Yes. If you're dynasty, then you maybe like DPJ more, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Maybe if you're in a standard or a redraft league, then you definitely like Higgins because Higgins, they call him Hollywood. I didn't know that, man. I really like that. So there's another Hollywood in town, Hollywood and there's Higgins. Another Hollywood in the AFC North, and it's Hollywood Higgins, and I really like him. And one thing, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the first person that pops out to me was Josh Gordon when I see him play. The Browns, how do they find these guys? Because if you look at Higgins, it's almost the same type of build too.
Yeah.
So no OBJ again, no problem. We have a Cleveland here to win this game. The next game here is probably the matchup of the week, the New Jersey Jets playing the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. This should be a doozy.
This is not going to be a doozy. This is, last time I checked, KC was favored by 19.5 points.
You're not wrong.
It's insane. And the over-under is at 49. So, look, we know what the narrative this week. We got Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Jets are coming to KC, so it's not like he's coming back home. But
right,
it's what will Le'Veon Bell do against the Jets? We know Andy Reid is a player's coach, so he's going to want to put him in a position to succeed and embarrass his old team. And kind of show Gates, like, look, this is how you use a running back like this and prove a point. So I can see that happening.
Yeah. I love Le'Veon Bell here, let me tell you, especially when Andy Reid knows and that he can create or solidify or cap a narrative, right? Like Le'Veon Bell coming back to stick at the Gates' face.
Yeah.
A name that I have in my head, and it's for the Jets, and I've been telling you about him for the last few weeks, so we both have. Denzel Mims, is it his turn? Because Perriman is banged up, and he's always going to be banged up. That's been the story of his career. And Jamison Crowder, who I feel like every single week he's banged up, and then Sunday you look and bam, he's playing.
Yeah, and he's another guy who's on the trade market of somebody who potentially can move teams.
Yeah, so is he banged up or is he just being saved until he can be moved? That's another thing. That's a really good point. Thanks for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. And Chris Herndon, where is he? Do you know where he is?
I don't know, man.
Because he was supposed to be like...
Adam Gase got him in a cage.
Yeah, exactly. Free Herndon. Yeah, free Herndon, man. And hey, maybe he's up for trade. And
we need to trade Adam Gase. That's what they need.
Before the Jets lose their entire franchise.
You got to quit on them.
Nonetheless, we both have the Chiefs. And we really like Bell to, like we said, this is the stick at the gates game.
Real quick before we hop off this game, you're starting all KC players against this game. You're just aware of a blowout, because if it gets ugly too soon, I can see Kelce sitting the fourth quarter, sitting, Mahomes sitting. This is one of those games where when you're favored by 19 and a half points, you're probably not going to be playing in the fourth quarter. So they need to get their points early and often. And then I'm looking at Bucker too. He's in a prime spot to be able to come in and kick. We just saw what Bass did against the Jets, attempting 8 field goals, making 6. That's insane. So if Bucker can stop missing extra points, he should be good.
Yeah. And
yeah, KC should win this game easy.
Yeah, same. I mean, couldn't have said it better myself, brother. The next game is the Los Angeles Rams going to Miami to face the Miami Dolphins and Tua. First career game.
Tua's first start. He's an underdog. The Rams are favored by 4. And we have an over-under 45 and a half. Look, that's what that was my storyline. Like, look, Tua at quarterback, will he shine? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking, man?
To me, what is the game plan going to be? You hit me off, because, again, I'm not going to lie. I don't watch much college football like I used to. But I do try to look up certain players and maybe look up video. And every time I saw Tua, I only saw the highlights, right? So obviously I would see maybe a deeper pass, but that's a highlight. What I hear from you is that he wasn't known to be that guy, like the guy to really throw it deep or to make throw it to the outside receiver on a deep out or anything like that. Is he better suited to play in a West Coast style offense when it's a short passing system?
Exactly. One, two reads, 10. I've read the stat where he averaged about 10 air yards per pass attempt.
Wow.
That's crazy. So, that's super low. Super low. So, they're going to be super conservative with him, man. As you're a rookie quarterback and your first NFL start, and you got to play against Aaron Donald, I'm shook.
Yeah, Aaron Donald and Floyd too. I mean, he's no slouch. Miami's
a Super Bowl MVP. How he just looked.
Like Miami's defense. It's been tough versus the quarterback, the best in NFL in terms of fantasy. And I'm again from week 3. Tough against the tight end, really tough. And they're also tough against the wide receiver. So basically the Dolphins, the one thing that you have to do, and if you can run it, if you have a good offensive line, just run the ball against them. There's no purpose to do anything else. Cause that defense, it's getting better. That secondary is clicking. Cause remember they still have Jones and Xavier Howard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's still a formidable secondary. I think the formula here, and I think the Rams do want to do that, right? Like, for the most part, they like running the ball. And now it's really more everything off of, a play-action type of system. I don't like – even if Higbee doesn't play, I don't like Everett here because, again, Miami's tough on the tight ends. The Rams have the best pass blocking offensive line for whatever that's worth. The Rams are very good against quarterbacks, so Tua could be in for it.
Yeah, look, is it me or have the Rams being a very conservative team this year? They're running the ball a lot more.
Yeah.
They're taking what the defenses are giving them. They're not making as many big splash plays as they used to.
He's not trying to be the genius that everybody made him out to be. Like, he's playing football.
The genius is he's taking what these defenses are giving him.
Exactly.
He knows his players and he knows their roles. Everybody knows their roles. I'm not expecting a lot of points in this game, and neither does Vegas. I really don't love starting any of these players on LA this week, but I'm going to start them if I have them because, I mean, you have to if you don't have better options. But on the other side of Miami, look, I don't like Devontae Parker at all this week. He has to face the LA Rams secondary, who has been really good against receivers. They've only allowed 100 yard receiver, and that was Cole Beasley. He literally had 100 yards exactly.
And he's the underneath guy.
Yeah, exactly, slot guy. So they've only allowed 3 receiving touchdowns. Again, 2 slot guys, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. Stephon Diggs got one off on him, but that's Stephon Diggs. That's a little bit different. And I'm also tempering expectations for Myles Gaskin. The Rams have been really good against the running back. Again, haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher yet, and only 2 rushing touchdowns so far. And those were at the beginning of the year, 1 to Zeke and 1 to Miles Sanders. So since week 2, they haven't allowed a rushing touchdown. So that front 7 is looking stout right now.
Yeah, they're gelling, man. So we both have the Rams, and we're not looking back, no matter what you say. So the next matchup is a division game, and it's one of these are always one of my favorites, man, because this is
probably one of my favorite games right here.
So we have the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. What's the line here?
We got Baltimore favored by 4, obviously, because they're home. And the over-under, which is fairly low for a game of this magnitude, is 46.5. Look, me and you talk about Lamar Jackson every single week solely because you do have him on your fantasy team. And I'm trying to walk you off the ledge and let you know, like, yo, chill, Lamar's nice. but this is a divisional matchup. And it's like, yeah, Lamar become that MVP again. Like, when are we going to start to see, like, damn, this dude is a cold dude. Like,
yeah.
Is this the week where, like, damn, if he could do it versus Pittsburgh, then it's like, all right, I'm done playing Lamar.
In this one, a very big storyline, bye week additions to the team. Baltimore added Yannick Ngakoue from Minnesota. And they also added Dez Bryant, who, when you look at the film of him, like, doing those catches, and obviously these receivers, they always look good when no one's, like, tackling them or bearing down them, right? But, you know, he's making these one-handed catches, and he looks in shape. He looks good, man. I'm excited for Dez. I'm excited to see what that – I mean, the question remains, and to your point, is can Lamar get him the ball? Because he hasn't really shown it. I mean, what? He averages, like, 176 passing yards a game. I mean, obviously, with that offense, you don't really need to use him. But in this, Pittsburgh's tough against the tight end position, so I don't really like Andrews here. So it's pretty much going to force him to try to throw it to the receivers, Hollywood Brown, because Pittsburgh, you could probably exploit them maybe on the passing game if you can get it off in time. What else do you see here? Well, how about on the Pittsburgh side?
So on the Pittsburgh side, I mean, James Conner's unreliable, man. He just doesn't ever look bad. Like, only times he looks bad is when he's not on the field because he's hurt. When he plays, James Conner is a top 10 running back every single week. Yeah. He's becoming an elite player, and a lot of people take him for granted. I think he's one of the best running backs in the NFL and doesn't get the credit. Big Ben, you're starting him this division game. He's on the road, but Baltimore's defense has looked pretty good. But you start guys in these games because, like you said, he wants to show up and show, hey, look, they're the only undefeated team left, and they have to show it. They have to prove it. So on the receiver side for them, I don't know who I like. Deontay Johnson, Juju, Clay, like, they're all good players. It's just hard to pinpoint who's going to be successful.
Yeah. What I would say is if Deontay doesn't play, I like Claypool because they move him around a lot. And they just find ways to get him the ball, especially in the red zone. He's such a weapon. If Deontay doesn't play, Ebron, I do like, because if you think about the Baltimore defense, it's a lot of, you know, Peters and Humphreys. It's a lot of keeping your outside receivers, like, in check. So maybe Ebron can make some noise. And Ebron has been trending to be involved in that offense a bit more. Baltimore has allowed the third most point again since week 3. They have allowed the third most points to the quarterback. It's road Ben, but still, it's Ben, right? So, but the one thing I will say is that the storyline here is that I have Baltimore ending the winning streak of the Pittsburgh Steelers because they're a division rival. Who better to do it than Baltimore? I just feel like that's the storyline for me. So that's why I'm taking Baltimore.
Yeah, and the reason I like Pitt this week is the reason why Baltimore is good. They can run the ball, and Pittsburgh has been stout. First, the running backs, they have yet to allow anybody to go over 80 rushing yards. The running backs that have been good against them are Miles Sanders, and we saw him break a big run against them. They held David Johnson in check, Kareem Hunt in check, Melvin Gordon in check. Obviously, we saw Saquon when he was healthy held in check. It's hard to hold anybody to hold Derrick Henry in check. So it took him 20 carries to get 75 yards. I want to see, like, for me, if Lamar Jackson can come through and look good against Pittsburgh, then I'm taking that, but it's hard to rely on that because we haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping for the sake of – I'm a fan of Lamar. I want him to succeed. But I just feel like Pittsburgh is just that damn good that Ben is a veteran quarterback. He's not going to make as many mistakes. If Ben comes out and he's throwing picks, then it's going to get ugly real quick and Baltimore can jump out to a lead. But like you said, it's going to be a field goal game where it's either Tucker hitting a game winner at the end, or Boswell hitting game winner at the end.
Yeah, if it is an ugly game, I think Baltimore likes the ugly game.
Yeah, and I'm scared of running backs against Pitt. Look, Edwards is a plotter, in my opinion. He's a big back. He's going to need a lot of carries to be able to succeed. I don't think he's going to get the opportunities.
J.K. Dobbins. If it's no Ingram in this game, J.K. Dobbins is the name of
him. As a receiving back, there's nobody who can guard him. They don't have Bush, who's usually guarding running backs at the backfield. Mm-hmm. I can see him exploiting those things. Edwards, he might fall into the end zone once and be like viable, but he is not going to get enough carries to be what Derrick Henry was doing last week.
Yeah, and they have Duvernay, which is a shame as a receiver. You know, you feel like every other NFL team will find a way to get him on the field and get him involved. Lamar, we hope that Lamar just keeps developing as a passer.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to another division game, and we have the Los Angeles Chargers facing the Denver Broncos. You know, Locke versus Herbert. That's exactly how we drew it up, right?
The future of that conference. Mm-hmm. You got the Chargers favored by 3 over under a 44.5. Is this a shootout? I feel like everybody who plays the Chargers is in a shootout almost. Or they allow the Chargers. My thing is their defense sucks. They allow a lot of points. And that's why Herbert has been good, because he has to try to come back. Look, we saw it against the Saints. We saw it against the Bucks. Like,
yeah,
he's just forced. And they're forced to abandon the run so early. So they're favored in this game. Are they going to try to this? It's either going to be a shootout where they're going back and forth, or the Chargers are going to try to control the game, run the ball, and Herbert is going to – most people are probably streaming him this week, and if he doesn't go over 300 and throw 2 touchdowns, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is the game where maybe Herbert has his first – one of
– he looks human.
Yeah, he looks human, because Denver, although they don't put up many touchdowns, they've only allowed 8 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
And to your point, the Chargers are very weak against the running back. So, you know, you like Denver to maybe just like punch back, right? Like, you like the Chargers to like do what they normally do, because the Chargers have a really good offense. Herbert has full control of that offense. Their offensive line is weak. So maybe your running backs, you don't really like them against other opponents, but the Chargers are pretty weak against the running back. So you like them. Denver's D has been tough, so they keep the games close. Division game, I feel like, again, another story where maybe Drew Lock could use Noah Fant or what's my guy?
I don't know how to pronounce that name. Don't even
Albert O. Albert O, man. He is an absolute stud.
You know, the Chargers have been giving up a lot of points to the tight end. We saw Jared Cook score last week. We saw O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate score the week before. Kelce put up 90 and a touchdown on them. So, look, quarterbacks are good against the Chargers. Lock is a streaming option this week if you're desperate in 2 quarterback leagues. Somebody you can play. DFS may be a cheap option.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we saw Tom Brady throw for 369 and 5 touchdowns against these guys. So,
yeah, and another that Denver's defense that might be a streamable option here, especially with rookie quarterback Denver Mile High, first time probably playing
If I'm predicting this game script, I'm thinking Chargers coming out to run the ball, establish the run, Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly getting a good 13 carries plus each.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna try to keep Lock off the field. They're playing in Denver, higher altitude. They're going to have to run the ball. I don't see Herbert having to do much in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do like the Chargers as well to come out and beat them.
Well, I got Denver, so we split on that
one. Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. If Denver can stop the run, then I can see it. I can see that happening. And you're forcing Herbert to beat you, and he hasn't been able to beat anybody. So if that's the case, then, yeah, I agree with you. But I think that the Chargers have to try to come out and create a running game, because – that's when they do that, that's how they win. They haven't been able to win despite Herbert doing all of this amazing stuff.
Yeah. They
just to win games, not make Herbert look good.
They're having a tough time closing out the game. And I think that's where their weak offensive line is. It scares me.
Yeah.
The next game we have here is the New Orleans Saints, who are going up against a very tough Chicago Bears team.
We got, New Orleans is favored by 4, and that's a super low over under 43.5. Man. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here.
I think that speaking of winning ugly, I think Chicago just wants to win, right? And every week we pick against them, and every week they just find a way to win.
And when they do win, it is ugly.
Yeah, and oh yeah, they just love those. Their defense is always going to give them a chance. You already know, you said it plenty of times, that Chicago is tough against the quarterback. Drew Brees is without Michael Thomas again. He was without him last week, and he found a way. You expect Alvin Kamara, if you have him in PPR, man, I wish, can you please screenshot the projection and send it to us at the fantasy standard TFS at gmail.com? Because I would love to see what that is. I'm pretty sure it's in the 20s.
Yeah, nah, he's going to go off. We know Drew Brees likes to dump it off to him. My worry is, look, I always tell you, I don't like starting quarterbacks against the Bears. They just do something against them, and they're going to get points, but they're not going to – it's not a ceiling. It's not ceiling games versus the Bears. They're very – if you want Drew Brees to get you 20, then you start him. Go ahead. But I'm trying to get the most out of my players, and that's not somebody that I'm happy starting it this week.
Yeah.
Against the Saints, I really do like Nick Foles this week, despite him not having Allen Robinson possibly. He hasn't practiced all week. They have him as doubtful. He's not playing this week.
He's not playing.
They've allowed two or more passing touchdowns every single week. Haven't allowed a 300-yard passer yet, but still, their guys are productive against them. They've allowed three touchdowns or more in four out of the six games they've played. So I'm liking Foles this week. A guy we've been talking about all week, me and you, is Mooney, taking a majority of Robinson's looks. And we know Robinson gets a lot of looks.
Mm-hmm.
And a thing I don't know if you realize, Jimmy Graham going back to play against New Orleans Saints. So.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did that, because I was going to say Jimmy Graham might be one of those guys to get one of those two touchdowns if we're going by averages, because New Orleans have given up the fifth most point, and again, since week three, fifth most points to the tight end at 10.8 fantasy points.
Yeah, they've allowed six receiving touchdowns to the tight end this year. That got to be top five allowed.
Yeah, so there you go.
Darren Waller put up 103 in a touch against them.
So another prop. You might want to have Jimmy in here.
Yeah, I love Jimmy Graham this week.
Yeah. Anything else for this game?
No. I got the Saints. I just think they're a more mature team, better team. The coaching, this is comes down to coaching. And Matt Nagy is just a bad coach. I'm sorry. Yeah, I hate picking on coaches, but let's be real. He doesn't know his team. He doesn't know who his playmakers are. He doesn't know how to get the ball to his playmakers. What's his face? The coach for the
Payton.
Saints.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton does. And that's just to keep it real simple. I think the Saints going to come out and make the Bears look like a bad team. But it's not going to be a blow. I don't think it's going to be a blow.
And you can run on the Bears. So maybe Latavius also. I think it's going to be a lot of work for those Saints running backs this week.
Yep.
Marquez Callaway, if he plays, do you see him again? Maybe getting all that underneath work, because he's doing the dirty work, and you know Brees loves that. Brees loves those guys, man.
Can't throw more than 5 yards.
Yeah, so he loves that. If you could stay within range, he's gonna look for you. Leading receiver last week. Next game, we both have New Orleans. Next game, we have a division bout, another one. San Francisco 49ers facing the Seattle Seahawks, who just lost a division game against Kyler Murray, a tough loss in overtime.
Yeah, we got Seattle favored by 3 over under, which is pretty high at 53. Kyler Murray beat both of these teams. What I'm looking at is, who are the Seahawks going to have at running back? Because it seems like every single one is hurt.
Yeah.
DJ Dallas is going to be the starter, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't think Carson misses, because every time we think Carson's not going to play, he shows up.
He'll play.
Yeah. So they've been quiet about it. If he doesn't and they're forced to play with DJ Dallas, then another big game for Russell Wilson. They're going to be forced to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah. A note on DJ Dallas, they say that he's a Carson clone.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so take that for what it's worth. But they're very high on DJ Dallas. I think they spent the 4th-round pick on him, or 3rd-round pick or something. So asterisk on his name, because he could be a big piece, but a usable piece.
That's definitely for sure. Look, what we look at every single time Seattle plays somebody is what are the receivers and pass catchers going to do against them? So guys I like this week are IU, Kittle, because Kittle's not really a tight end. He's a receiver, in my opinion. But
yeah.
Those are guys I'm looking at. I wanted to ask you, is Jimmy G a streaming option this week for Seattle?
Jimmy G is, because I like Kittle, I like Ayuk, and I'm going to put one more person in there, Kendrick Bourne. If he was going to add his random Kendrick Bourne touchdown. It would be in this one right here, right? But I do think that, to answer your question, Jimmy G is a streamable option.
Got it. Look, and look, San Francisco has been good against receivers throughout the season, but they haven't played many good receivers. Only time they've had to face decent receivers was week one when they played against DeAndre Hopkins, and he put up 151 on them. Yeah. Besides that, he played against the Jets, who, if you can name me three receivers on the Jets, then you really like football. Or you're a Jets fan. They played the Giants, who Slayton is their best receiver, held to 53. They played the Eagles, who the best receiver was Fulgham, 57. The Dolphins, who Preston Williams had a pretty good game, 106 and a touch. Josh Reynolds, Robert Woods scored, but held in check as far as yards. And the Patriots, we saw what they did last week. So they've been good, pretty good. But again, it's because of the competition they've been playing. It's not because their defense is that amazing.
Yeah. I want to commend the job that the defensive coordinator of the Niners has been doing.
He should he should have a head coaching job.
Yeah. He, you know, they're getting healthier. You like Mosley outside. Verrett is probably like comeback player of the year. If you want to talk about replacement parts, what do we
refurbished?
Refurbished, yeah, Verrett. We got to throw him in the refurbished bucket because he's constantly in one of the lowest like completion percentage or rating against. So San Francisco, I do like their corners. Maybe Warner, Fred Warner, the middle linebacker, I think is one of my favorite players in the league to watch play sideline to sideline. And when you have a middle linebacker like that, you can afford some losses. Maybe not one to the caliber of Bosa, but they've been doing pretty good, especially in light of the fact that Kinlaw has filled in admirably. But in this one, you expect them to not be able to keep up with Russ. I think a lot of people are having a tough time unless your name is Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take Russ to edge him out. I do think that whatever the over is, I would take the over in a game like this.
Seattle. Cool. Let's move on to this next one.
And we have the Dallas. I was going to say the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Cowboys facing the Philadelphia Eagles in an NFC Titans showdown. Yeah. Is this a first place matchup?
No. The Washington football team, I think, is in second place right now. I don't know how, but the Eagles are favored by 7.5, over under 43.5, which is super low. Look. Andy Dalton is looking like he's not playing this week. Miles Sanders is not playing this week. Like, this is the Sunday night football game. And I don't know why the NFL's, I don't know if they changed it or not, but I don't know why this is still a primetime game. Yeah. I do not want to see these two teams play. I'm going to be completely honest.
I guarantee it's because it's the Cowboys and Jerry Jones probably made a fit about them getting fixed out of the Sunday night spot. Cause there's no way.
At home, but.
Yeah, there's no way, but still, it's the Cowboys, you know, like, there's no way that DiNucci.
It's good for TV.
It's good for TV. There's no way. Philadelphia is getting healthier. They're getting Jalen Reagor back. So that's a nice little weapon to have for Wentz. Speaking of Wentz, will he continue his hot streak? He's been looking really good lately. You know, Dallas pass defense, we've said it over and over again. We're here again. 16 touchdowns allowed, fifth worst in the league, again, since week three. Boston Scott, will he continue his good play? I think on the passing side, he absolutely will because Carson Wentz loves his hands.
I love Boston Scott this week.
Yeah. On Dallas's side, what in the world will happen to Zeke?
Good luck. Good luck.
What's going to happen to Zeke?
What do we always say? The only thing the Eagles are good at are stopping the run.
Yeah.
They're not scared of whatever the hell that quarterback's name. I don't even know what his name is.
DiNucci.
DiNucci is going to be on the floor this week because the defensive line is going to destroy him. I love the Philly defense streaming this week. In DFS, I love them this week. Look, you just got to pick on the Cowboys. I hate it. I love it at the same time, but you got to pick on them. They're just bad. Until they get a viable starter back there, that maybe there's somebody in play who's trading for Fitzpatrick. You
know, they're actually getting rid of pieces on that Dallas defense.
Yeah, they're selling.
So I don't think they'll make a move for Fitz, even though, like, I think that if they would have – in that division, though, with Fitz being out there, it makes the most sense for Dallas to have Fitz.
Yeah, I think they're sellers, and they're just trying to play for next year. They're like, you know what? There's no point in coming get Fitz and – just become be the Miami Dolphins.
Well, all I got to say to that is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Put a Stephen A. Smith gif in here somewhere.
So we both have Philadelphia here. Carson Wentz in Philly, slowly getting healthier, slowly getting better, slowly getting crisper playing football, hopefully. The last game is a Monday night game, and it's Tampa playing the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, Tampa's favored by 10.5, over under a 46. The first thing I have listed on this game is pray for Daniel Jones.
You know, their defensive metrics are like off the chart. Everything.
The Buccaneers defense is disgusting.
Wow. They probably have one of the best young corners in the game, right? In Davis. AB is just one game away. So this is like a Tom Brady tune-up, basically, to show the world what they're capable of on another primetime stage, right? So last time they were on primetime, they lost to the Bears. This is like another chance for them to show themselves. And you can't beat the Giants in the air. Their defense is decent, but, you know, with no Godwin, the script again reverts to Evans, Tyler Johnson, who people aren't really talking about, and Scotty Miller. So the script could be a lot of that, maybe a sprinkle of Gronk, hopefully not for my selfish purposes, but I love everything about this offense, except maybe the one thing that the Giants do well is stop the run for the most part. So, you know, Rojo maybe by sheer will, or Fournette if they're closing out the game, again, by sheer will and volume. What do you have here?
So some notes I have is Brady coming back strong. He's been on a tear. I think he just won NFC Player of the Month, if I'm not mistaken. A primetime game. We got primetime Brady looking to show people that even though he's old, he's still good.
Mm-hmm.
And since the Bucs are favored by 10.5, I can see him playing with a lead. Ronald Jones should get a ton of touches. Fournette should get a ton of touches. And like you said, the Giants are good against the run, but based on sheer volume, it's hard to stop the run when they're consistently running against
them. Yeah, so, well.
The Giants are going to have to throw the ball consistently. That means that the pass rushers for the Bucs are going to feast. That cornerback we always talk about on the Bucs has been having amazing year so far. He's one of the most slept-on cornerbacks in the league. He's probably going to be matched up against Slayton. So Slayton is somebody I'm not in love with this week.
Well, that's why I have a Sterling Shepard who looked good in his return last week. I have him highlighted here.
Yeah.
And another thing I want to point out is this Golden Tate's last game as a Giant?
Yeah, another person who's looking to get traded.
Mm-hmm. And the Bucs, one thing to note that I was surprised about is that they have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns, which is 8th most in the league. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot, you know, considering that you think of that defense. But we both have Tampa here. We're not going to get cute. We got Brady winning it. No Gronk touchdowns, please. Put that out there. But no, that's it. Let's move right on to our stud, bust, and under the radar. Go ahead, Ryan.
Cool. So, look, it comes to no avail. I can't pick on Houston this week because they're on the bye, unfortunately. But let's be real. I think Henry is the best back in the NFL. A guy who averages almost 24 carries a game, like I mentioned earlier, 6 inside the red zone. He's almost guaranteed a touchdown every single week. And with 7 over the last 4 games, Tennessee is favored in this matchup. I can see them playing with the lead and running the ball throughout this whole game. I'm expecting Henry to get over 150 total yards and score 2 times. He's my stud of the week.
All right. My stud of the week is because of storyline alone. Le'Veon Bell faces the Jets for an immediate turnaround time revenge game. Jets are bad at almost everything. And though the Chiefs will be without a nice O-line piece, I do expect Le'Veon Bell to be used plenty inside the red zone to utilize his drive finishing skills. CEH will accumulate the yards, but Bell will vulture his way into a healthy 75 total yards and 2 touchdowns. I said it, 2 touchdowns because of Andy Reid.
Facts. I like that. I like that. Even though I have to play against Le'Veon, I like that. my pick for bust. Look, I get it. Breeze is a legend. But as bad as the Bears were last week, they're still a great defense. Mm-hmm. They have yet to allow a quarterback over 300 yards. And only have given up 6 passing touchdowns in 7 weeks. It seems like I pick my bust is whoever plays the Bears quarterback until I get proven wrong. I'm going to keep doing it because I keep trying to tell you, I do not start quarterbacks versus the Bears. And Some of y'all don't want to listen to me. Yeah. I'm expecting under 250 passing yards and about 1.5 touchdowns from Drew Brees.
All right. My bust is Devontae Parker, and he's banged up with a groin and as a quarterback that's growing. So I don't know if that's a good formula. We're honestly not sure here. This is pure speculation. In my stat book, those are my eyes. The Rams are allowing the second fewest fantasy points to receivers. Expect them to ease Tua and use his legs maybe a bit more. I predict 4 catches, 44 yards, no touchdowns for Devontae Parker.
Nice, nice. To finish this off, you know how I like attack the Seattle secondary, and this week is no difference. It seems like the Seahawks are in shootouts every single week, and this looks like another one is looming.
Yeah.
Debo looking to miss time. Ayuk is a Debo Jr. I think he's going to pick up exactly where he left off. Look, I'm expecting over 80 total yards because we do see Ayuk get carries as well. Mm-hmm. And a touchdown easily against Seattle, and he's my under the radar pick.
For me, my under the radar is Darrell Henderson, and when I looked at his stats, I wasn't surprised because I saw him the last few weeks. I've been watching him closely, and he's actually leading that committee. So he leads the team in rushing attempts, yards, touchdowns, and is in a prime matchup against a team that's allowing the fourth most points to the running back position. So the Rams have a superior O-line, and their game script basically, so a rookie quarterback, a tough defense against said rookie quarterback, it should yield a lot of opportunities for Rams running backs, especially Darrell Henderson, who looks like he has the lead in that committee. So my prediction is 95 total yards and a rushing touchdown. Darrell Henderson, you're under the radar.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's
that wraps up week 8, man. I'm excited about it. These games are becoming more meaningful, not only in fantasy, but for the regular season. So we have a lot more numbers we can go off. We have a lot more, stats that we can break down. So it's getting a little bit easier to predict. We know what these teams are. This is about to be the halfway mark through the season. What are you looking at going forward from here?
I guess we're going to get crisper football. I think we're going to get better defense. We're probably going to get less penalties from the great teams. The bad teams are going to start revealing themselves and probably playing themselves into a good draft pick. Wink, wink, right? Like, you know, they're not going to admit it, obviously, but, you know, Trevor Lawrence is up for grabs. So that's another story to watch.
If he comes out, because I saw him.
Yeah, if it's the Jets, he's not coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I'm looking for crisper football. I'm looking for offenses to get used to their schemes a little bit better. Again, I think that now we've had a preseason, quote unquote, with the first 4 weeks of the season. The Bears defense is one of those that you're not surprised that they are where they are right now.
They have a good record. We keep forgetting the Bears are a good team.
Yeah, they're good.
As bad as their offense is, their defense is good. This is Matt Nagy has to wake up one day and realize, like, look, I got to start making better calls.
Yeah, yeah. I know that everyone here that has watched this show, basically, if you make your own picks, you see what our record is. Share what yours is in the comment section below. Let us know what you've been picking. And if you watch this show, drop some feedback, drop a review, drop a like, share it, do all that stuff. Bing, 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 bang.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, make sure you follow Ryan, follow myself. Our social media handles are right under us, right here on our screens.
Yeah, any questions you have, we'll give you our expert opinion.
Yeah.
And go from there.
We don't ever use that term. We don't ever consider ourselves expert. I can tell you that I've been playing for a long time and I have like my account to prove it. That's one thing, right? And I have championships. So maybe I can help you win a championship one day.
Thanks.
Yeah. So
that's it, man. We'll catch you guys next week with hopefully some good news. Mm-hmm. And that's it, man. Signing off.
Yeah, yeah. So make sure you drop a review if you haven't already.
Yeah,
if you're listening. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. Take care, guys. Yeah.